Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is this, that every one of the harvest, everyone in the harvest, Jesus said the harvest is white, it's ready to pick. When wheat kernels turn white and barley is ready to pick, the berries turn white. And also cotton, it turns white. So, but the harvest is ready to be picked. And it's my desire and my prayer that every single one is reaped. Not one lost because of darkness. And the Lord's going to, he's been telling me he's going to do one last warning. I don't know what it is, don't know what it'll look like. But the warning will be for everybody. But he's going to give light to his people, warning to everybody, that everybody and anybody that receive the light can have a chance of salvation. See, when he does the rapture, he's only going to take those that are ready and leave behind those that didn't want to go, that love the world. Don't forget that sometimes people confuse wisdom. So the Lord can tell you to do things because he loves you and he cares about you wholeheartedly. And he'll give you wise things to do personally. Sometimes people fail to do the wisdom of God. That doesn't disqualify their salvation. But when it comes to sin, now that's a whole other problem. You cannot take sin to heaven with you. And you can't let sin be in you and go to heaven. You can't do it. No matter how people play with it, you just can't do that. And if you fall, you have to ask God to forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive his people. But sometimes people have been taught wrong by tares, people taught bad information, and good people sometimes believe it. But the Lord put a lot of steps, a lot of things in place for us to live a holy life. He sent his only begotten Son to wash away our sins in the first place. So whosoever believe on him could have everlasting life and not be with the Father forever, be reunited and not perish. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us because Satan's going to give us interference. So the Lord he's given us a present help by the Holy Spirit. Everlasting life, springing, the Holy Spirit within teaches us personally. He's there giving us, helping us to understand his words of light, springing up in the everlasting life from us. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon us to help us do what we can't do, what we don't know how to do. See, when ministers yield to the Lord and the Holy Spirit's upon them, they can do a mighty work. And their anointing can be, just like my pastor said, it can be doubled. That's very important, folks. God can do, he can do things through us. Gideon was made aware that he was a mighty man of valor by the angel. And he couldn't see it, but he was because he had the love of God in him. And that's what God needs, somebody that loves him to the point that they can believe him and trust him. And Gideon came, he did things, he made steps so that he could believe God and also trust God. And then he acted on all that God said in the worst times ever. When I read the book of Gideon, the story of Gideon, chapter 6, 7, and 8. When I read those stories, he had to make decisions in a big fat mess. And he did it. He did it. He pulled it off. Sometimes I wonder if I was in his shoes, would I have done what he did? And who knows? But now, with his story, see, I can read about people like Gideon all day, and I can become like them. But see, remember, there was no, all they had to go on was the miracles of their fathers that they told them about what Moses did, and those that came from the Exodus. See, he was the third generation, so he didn't get to see all that. He only heard about it. And so did the world. this was a big thing. So the first generation is the most impressive because they didn't have nothing to go on coming out of Egypt. You know, they didn't have that word was being written. The law, they didn't have a law. They caused the law to be written because they didn't get it. They kept doing things. God never really wanted to give man a law. You know, just imagine your guests come to the house and you point them out that you got laws. You can't steal my silverware and my pictures on the wall. Leave them up there. Don't bother them. And you know, don't glance at my daughters. You don't do people like that. You want people to know better. You know, you expect people to have what you call home training. And you want to be able to invite people in, make yourself comfortable. You leave the room and you know everything is safe. Well, God's the same way. But these folks, they come right out of Egypt, saw all those miracles. When Moses went up to present himself before the Lord and receive the instructions that God would give him, and the people down there having a worldly party, orgies, acting just like Egyptians and people that around them. And the Lord had to write he gave Moses 10 commandments. And Moses was so angry, he threw the stones at him and it hit the ground and broke in pieces. He had to go back up and let God give it to him all over again. Now, listen, this was 50 days. I got to study for myself. According to Jonathan Cahn, this would have been Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. Now, I got to research it for myself. I usually don't do that, but the times are short. You can research it too to make sure. And when Moses went on the mountain, he said that was 50 days after the Passover. So that's, you know, things were fresh on their mind. They saw the cloud by day, the fire by night, and they acted like that. Now, if somebody come to your house and they act shifty, well, you might want to, you may not leave the room, or they may deserve a law, you know. So God wants his people not to be lawless. If you have restraint within, if you have temperance and you're not lawless, then there's no need to give you a law. Your love is a restraint all by itself. And that's how we fulfill the law, just like Jesus. We walk in love towards God and man, and there's no need to tell us not to steal, kill, lust after people. And see, lust is deadly. That's a deadly disease. And then the way Satan, what I hate about it, it's embarrassing. Because the enemy is trying to appeal to the flesh, and people are beautiful, but that just because they're beautiful or appealing, that doesn't mean you have to lust after them. See, lust is demonic. I like the way Steve Quill put it. He said, lust is the desire of demons on humans. See, that's a foreign object. That never should have been. I don't care what a person looked like, and people can be very attractive, but you never lose your love for them. And with love, it took me, you know, the Lord, you know the stories I talk about. So if you listen, continue. You can't lust after a person if you love them with the agape love of Jesus. You care about them. You know, doctors have to see people in all conditions, even naked, and they're used to it. They love the people. They want to help them live. So they don't get caught up in how beautiful people are. So you have to, man can live without lust. Lust is a foreign object. That comes from Satan. That's the desire of demons on people and fallen angels. They turned from God. They didn't just start doing evil. They turned. They started hating God. And seeing, I like what my buddy sent me. He wrote a writing, 5 Steps to Transition. But within it, it says, sin is always hostile. Sin is always hostile. There is no little sin. It's always hostile towards the things of God. And it causes, Jesus said it several times, it causes us to be at enmity with God or the enemy of God. So God's not going to take enemies to, see, that's not going to be another insurrection like what Lucifer did ever. Daniel said that that would be an end of sin, you know. And so Jesus ended sin. He broke it. He broke our sin nature. When a man gets saved, he gets a new spirit. And that's what I desire for everybody. See, once people believe on Jesus with the intent to obey him, and they love God again. So they come, they go forward in the things of God. They follow on to know God. So when people do that, they can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And wherever they are confused, they still don't want to sin. See, when the enemy tempted me personally and others that I know, we didn't want the temptation, so we did something about it. Were we tempted? Yes, because everything out there is persuasive. Demons are very persuasive. People are very persuasive. Fallen angels are very persuasive. So these things can become a problem. And also the word of God is more persuasive, and the words of angels is more persuasive. And the Lord told me that people have more influence on, or humans have more influence on humans than angels or demons. So you have to look at all these things. People can be tempted. Jesus was in all points tempted, but he did not sin. I was tempted, and I thought I was going to sin. But I didn't. God rescued me. He showed me how to deal with it. So it's doable. And once I learned about love and not fearing, then it stopped being such a problem. And I still don't take it lightly. I see it for what it is. It's a danger. It's a danger zone. You don't go there. You know, I hate it. Every time I see something that shouldn't be. If you watch YouTube videos like I do, some commercials are very seductive. You know things will pop up, but I rebuke it every time. Nowadays on TV, you know, they have people dressed all kind of ways, selling underwear and Pampers and, you know, adult diapers, and they have people dressed in their underwear. Nobody wants to see that, but they do it anyway. This is the world for you. They're trying to sell their product, and they just throw it out there. In other countries, it's even worse. I heard that they show people with no clothes on television. Everybody see it, and so these things shouldn't be, but that's how it is. But you can't do nothing about what other people do, but you can do something within. Well, the harvest that God wants to reap, they're being bombarded with demonic debauchery. So they need the word of God. And some people, they don't like the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, but they don't know the word. So they back at square one, and they need rescue, and they need a preacher. And then some countries made it against the law, just like Iran. You know, they kill Christians, people there. So Jesus himself appeared to millions of Iranians. And there's a great move of God in Iran. I heard there's a great move of God in China, and also in every nation, God is moving. He ain't just sitting around watching people get ready to be roasted. That he loved people who have a heart cry. Some people have a heart cry. They just want to do right. They want to do right, and they don't know how to. They don't know what to do. Some people, just like here in America, some people, they have a heart cry. They go to church. And then, but they, when they go and they're hearing a compromised doctrine, that's confusing. It's just confusing the daylights out of them, and it vexes their spirit because it's really not God's word. They don't know what to do. They got a heart cry. They go home and think about it. And now I run into more people. They study the word, and some people go to churches, and people are doing things they shouldn't do. So they have a heart cry. They want to know God for real. They don't want to They don't want the strife and the jealousies and things that proud people do. It vexes their spirit. So then you have churches where the man of God and the people really love God, and they really want to know Him, and they have a heart for the things of God. And there's no great fanfare. There's no big explosions. You know. You know what I'm trying to say. You know how the wealthy churches have more to work with. They got a bigger band. They got better equipment. You know, they got lighting, all the fanfare. And then you got churches that don't have any of that. They got a stereo system and something, one person singing, because they're just getting started, or nobody really sings in the congregation. So they do what they can with what they have. But they really love God, and they want to practice the Word of God, and they want to do the Word of God, and they want to do it for the right reasons. The Lord put it to me this way: sincerity attracts sincerity, while leaven attracts leaven. So everybody with a heart cry, there are so many people out there, and they got a heart cry, they just don't know what to do. They don't. Everybody they know is just like they are. Everybody they know is scripturally illiterate. Their whole world is scripturally illiterate. Their culture is scripturally illiterate. But they got a heart cry. They really would love to know God and enter into the things like healing and having words of knowledge and dreams. You know, Henry Grubel was preaching in Japan, and his interpreter was the best interpreter. And he said that in Japan, the highest paid college professors teach English, and they teach people to speak it just like we speak it. And so it's very expensive to learn English there. So when he taught, he was interpreting for Henry Grubel, and that was the same interpreter that Billy Graham used. So when Henry Grubel said, he said, "And when I went to heaven," his interpreter didn't say anything. He tapped him on the shoulder. He said, "Do you mean that was a dream?" And Henry Grubel said, "No, when I went to heaven," he said, "we're going to do this." You know, he said he knew that the people were going to get stirred up, because in the Buddhist, they never have reports of people coming back from heaven, even the best Buddhist priest. And you know, while I said that, things that Henry Grubel learned about Buddhist priests, sometimes they have a heart cry. He met the number one Buddhist priest years ago, and you just can't get an appointment with him. But the Lord sent him there, and he got one with him. And when he got through talking to him about Jesus and the love of God, every time he said, "I want you to come back and tell me more about Jesus," he had a heart cry. So when people have been, if a person walks through a desert and they hadn't had water for weeks, and here you come with, you know, they had very little to go on for many weeks, they're very dehydrated. Water is a wonderful thing. Now, here comes Henry Grubel with living water in a dry and thirsty land, and he's talking about heaven. Now, what happened was, when he proceeded and told them about what he experienced in heaven, a revival broke out. And right after that, they had to do an altar call, because so many people wanted salvation. And Japanese people, they don't show emotion publicly. I didn't know that. I love Asian people. I know one thing, they make some good cars. I'm an auto mechanic, and man, I'm going to tell you, I like their engineering style more than ours sometimes, and more than U.S. made cars. And but everybody who built, you know, my hat's off to every automaker. But I really love the way Asian people make cars, and I like the way they do. They're some sweet people to me, very work oriented, and they're not lazy, and they have a high work ethic. But nevertheless, they don't show emotion publicly. And I understand that. People, if you grow up in a culture, that's how you'll do. Well, they were crying publicly. Because they had a heart cry. They really, the same people that wouldn't show emotions after they heard the word, they came to life. They wanted life. They reached for it. And he had to stay two or three more nights to minister. And you know what happens when people get life in them? They spread life. And sincerity begets sincerity. And there are people out there all over the world. Some of them are mean. Some of them are terrorists. But they got a heart cry. You mean to tell me a terrorist can have a heart cry? Yes, they can. And all kind of people got a heart cry. See, people are driven to darkness. Rapists, prostitutes, drug dealers, murderers, hitmen. They can have a heart cry. Your heart can be so calloused because of your culture and the way you've been done. That doesn't mean that you don't have a heart cry for God. And God wants to, he's going to do something huge. Now, this is not a sign to make unbelieving people come to him. So if you're looking for a sign, you're going to miss this. Whatever God does, that's why I'm so puzzled when he told me this about this last warning I've been talking about for a week and a half, or, you know, when he first brought it to me. I like to know how things, I'm a mechanic. I like to know how things work. So, in looking at and observing these things, I'm like, what would he do? Would it be somebody with a message? Would it be an event? Would it be bad weather, good weather, something unusual? He's going to give us a warning. And I can't figure it out. That's not important. Because the wicked look for a sign. They'll use this message to start looking for signs so they can get saved right. Because their heart ain't right. Now, I'm not talking about people that'll do something like that. I'm talking about the people that will benefit from the warning that God gives are people with a heart cry only. And I know this. But the hard-hearted won't. God wants them to know you're about to enter a season of terrible trouble. This is your last chance. You know, he's giving them warning so that they can come out of the world. But guess what? If you love the world, it causes you to be the enemy of God. So the world will harden. Every time it's time for them to come out of the world, their heart hardens more because of their love for sin. Some people sin and they hate it, like the hitmen. They don't really like what they do, but they don't know to do nothing else, and their heart is hard, and they're driven to this evil because that's their culture. That's what they do. And some people believe in what they're doing. They think if they kill this person, it's going to be better off for everybody. And, you know, sometimes deception is involved with the way that they work. But they don't really like it. And so they become hitmen to knock off people that they think is a disease in the first place. And then some people don't care about that. They just want to get paid. So their heart is low enough, just they don't care about murdering people. So people like that probably won't get saved no way, because they love the world. But God knows the difference. When people hate sin, that they might be trapped by it, but they don't know how to come out of it. They hadn't seen the light yet. And not to make excuses for people, that's how it is. Because when you minister the gospel, I've seen it, when the right people hear it, no matter what they're into, they're coming out of that and they won't what Jesus got. I did. I'm a person. There were times that were things that I liked that was wrong, and I wouldn't get saved because of it. But it didn't make me no better off. It didn't make me a better person. It just left a hole in my heart, basically. So everything that I tried to do I just wanted to have fun when I was a sinner. But I started, as I got older, I thought about what it would lead to. It leads to problems that you can't fix. And I didn't want to do people wrong for my pleasure. So I began to have a heart cry for the things of God, not just for my own safety, but I never looked at my salvation as a life insurance policy, a get out of jail free card, or a get out of hell free card. No. I wanted the lifestyle to go with it. Some people just want to, they want to get out of jail free card, but they really like what's going on in the world. Nope. I said, I'm either going to be all in or all out. And I don't want that anymore. That didn't help me. It didn't make me no better off. When I came out of the world, in my heart, I didn't want sin in my life anymore. But I didn't know how to do it. And I thought I was going to fail. And the devil spoke to me and said, you know what I'm going to say if you listen to these broadcasts. He said, if you get saved, you're going to be bored. And I thought, and back then, you know, I thought he was telling the truth. And you know what my reply was? I said, I don't care. This is right. And guess what? I don't know how God did it, but I have not been bored since that moment. God did something to my mind or my brain or my heart where I just don't get bored. And my oldest daughter, she don't get bored either. No matter where we go, she got something to entertain herself. She gonna sneak a book in her purse. She's been like that. She's not afraid of things. And all my children are that way. But I have not been bored. I forgot what it's like to be bored. when you're bored, you're dreading time. You're sitting somewhere in a waiting room and there's nothing to do but look at the gray wall and you wish you was out in the sunshine. Well, when I'm sitting in the room and there's a gray wall to look at and nothing else to do, I think about the goodness of God. If I don't have my Bible, then I just pray to the Lord and talk to Him. I can't be bored. It's just not going to happen. No matter what's going on around me, I find a way to enjoy the moment. So God did that. I didn't do that. I don't know. I don't even know how it works. I just enjoy it. But people are out there with a heart cry. And God, I'm so thankful that God is going to do something that's going to give everybody a level chance. So where does you come in on this? When I first did this broadcast, the Lord had me to go back and read the first part of Judges chapter 6. And I want you to know something. Here's Gideon in the midst of all this trouble. And then verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, here we are. You're Gideon now. You're just like Gideon. You're in Gideon's shoes. And this is what Gideon said. And Gideon said to him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? This is what the angel said to him in the name of the Lord. And then Gideon said, and he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. That's how he felt, just like we do. And you know the story. Before he did all this, he brought the angel something to eat. We're going to skip on down. And Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. See, God is, he's peace. He's with us unto this day, as yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And now look what God said. And it shall come to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar to the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Now, he cut down the trees that they use for worship and use it to burn the sacrifice. I never saw that before. out of all the times I read this. But okay, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city. He could not do it by day, but he did it by night. So that's how he got the name Zerubbabel. God is going to, he's going to command his people who love and follow him to cut all ties with the world, be somebody that he can introduce his wisdom through and speak his word boldly. Gideon cut all ties with the world, and then he turned his face to God and obeyed him. That's what we're going to do. And that's the point of all of this. There are people out there with the heart cry, cut all ties with the world, and be bold in the Lord and in the power of his might. And he's going to be with you. Consider these things and obey the word, the wisdom of God, and do all that he put in your heart to do. Because you may be involved in this great warning that he does. However it turns out, be ready to act. I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be a trusting child of God, full of faith and living an honorable life with no ties to the world. And remember, sincerity begets sincerity, while leaven begets leaven. As you're sincere, you can do all things through Christ. Stay in victory. Stay in covenant. And enjoy covenant laughter, because God is going to mightily move.